Amen. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 31. In 1973, a man by the name of Alan Sherman wrote a very controversial and a very controversial book with an extremely provocative title. The title is The Rape of the Ape, A, capital A-P-E, stood for American Puritan Ethic. The book was written as a satire about the sexual revolution of the 1960s and the 70s, and in his book, Mr. Sherman mocks the idea of biblical morality. But he also writes some things that I think are very insightful. For instance, he says, and I quote, "The sexual revolution left a lot of devastation in its path, but nothing was reduced to less recognizable rubble than the revered institution of marriage. Everything got devalued, not just the dollar, but everything in American life. The American flag was devalued, marriage was devalued, virginity, love, God, and motherhood." And indeed, America's perception of God and mothers and marriage and morality have all been not just devalued, but they've been adulterated. And this morning on this day, we all call Mother's Day appropriately. I would like for us to think about what God says about mothers and about women from the Bible, the inspired writings of Scripture, here in Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to read Proverbs 31, beginning at verse 10 to the end of the chapter. Listen as I read. Follow with me. Proverbs 31, verse 10, this is God's word. "Who can find a virtuous wife?" Or that is translated in other translations, "woman." Who can find a virtuous woman or wife? "For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She's like a merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it from her profit. She plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household, does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She gives of her, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Amen. Notice, I don't know if you noticed, but I can't get over it. Six times the Holy Spirit inspires Solomon to write about this virtuous woman's hands or hand. the virtuous woman from God's perspective, and that's the best perspective according to verse to this whole text, is literally a woman of strength, a woman who is competent and capable, has godly character, a woman who is far more valuable than rubies or gold or silver or money or any of the treasures of this world. So we have some godly women in this church. That means we're rich. We're rich in our families for godly women. The virtuous or godly woman is faithful and worthy of trust. She is a special blessing to her husband. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She is an enterprising, energetic, enthusiastic worker inside her home and outside her home. She provides for the needs of her household. She reaches out her hands to the poor and the needy. She is gracious in all that she says and does. Verse 26, on her tongue is the law of kindness. She's a woman of excellence. But what really makes this virtuous woman so capable and so competent and so excellent, according to verse 30, is that she fears the Lord. Solomon makes a distinction in verse 30, and I want to focus on verse 30. He makes a distinction between physical beauty and spiritual beauty. You see that? Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. The physical, beautiful woman is outwardly attractive. She has a pretty face and maybe even a beautiful body, but a woman who only has a pretty face and a shapely body is often very shallow and ugly on the inside. That may have been why Solomon wrote in Proverbs 11:22, he said, as a ring in the gold, ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman without one who lacks discretion. The spiritually beautiful woman, on the other hand, may be beautiful on the outside, but more often than not, she's usually kind of ordinary looking in face and in form. True beauty is an inward thing. It's internal, characterized by the fear of the Lord. Physically attractive women get lots of attention, but only for a little while, and then it's gone. The beauty's gone. The attention is gone. In the end, her physical beauty shrivels up, and she often begins to mirror the image of a shallow, self-focused, proud heart. She ends up like so many other women and men who live for their looks, but inside they're miserable, shallow, jaded, and jealous. The spiritually attractive woman is someone who gets God's attention. See the difference? Outwardly beautiful people are looking for people's attention. If it's only just outward beauty, just people's attention, spiritually attractive women are looking for God's attention. Spiritual beauty is blessed of God, and these women always find real happiness and security and usefulness in the kingdom of God. She's blessed and beautiful because she fears the Lord, and therefore she shall be praised, verse 28 and verse 31. She shall be halal, which means she shall shine. She shall flash forth light. Young ladies and men, there's going to be a time when you're going to think about, you're going to get old. And the beauty of youth is going to fade and shrivel up. And you're going to wish that you spent more time and effort to beautify your soul than to try to make yourself attractive to other people. A woman who fears God is focused on God because they want to be attractive to God. 1 Peter chapter 3, 3 and 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. It doesn't say don't be beautiful. It just says don't let it be merely outward. Arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart. With the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. An attractive face with a shallow heart will only attract other shallow hearts. One of the old writers said, if I choose her for her beauty, I shall love her no longer than while that continues. And then farewell at once to both duty and delight. But if I love her for her virtues, then when all other sandy foundations fail, yet will my happiness and love remain. Verse 30 again. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And here's the question. This is the big question. What does it mean to fear God? What is the fear of the Lord all about? And this is where a lot of people run into problems. They run into even many evangelical Christians run into lots of difficulties here. A God we're supposed to fear doesn't seem very appeasing, doesn't seem very appealing or inviting to most people. That may be why a lot of people choose to dumb down the fear of God by trying to call the fear of God a reverence for God or respect, something else, something tolerable. But fearing God is much more than just simple reverence and respect. Listen to some texts. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13. The Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Jeremiah 5:22. Do you not fear me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? Psalm 119, verse 120. My flesh trembles for fear of you. I'm afraid of your judgments. Matthew 10:28. Here's the words of Jesus. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Hebrews 12:28. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And I don't think that we can properly appreciate and acknowledge the whole issue of godly fear if we dumb it down and dilute it to mean something less than what the Bible tells us it is. To fear the Lord is to live with a constant realization that God is much more than a religious idea or an expression or a religion or a symbol for what is right and what is good. To fear the Lord means that God has become very, very, very real to me and hopefully to you. For those who fear the Lord can become more real than all the people around us. He's real. And just because you can't see God, you can't sense God, you can't feel God, doesn't mean he doesn't exist. It may mean that you're spiritually dead, that you don't have any life in you, that you don't have any sensitivity to God. It's possible for someone to think they're religious, to even say that they're Christians and still be dead to the spiritual reality of God. That's why Jesus told that religious man in John chapter 3, Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. Once a person is born from above, almost everything changes in their lives. Their thinking changes. Their attitudes change. Their desires change. Their goals change. Being alive to God makes us able to know him and to appreciate him and to delight in him and to enjoy him and to love him and even to fear him. We fear God because he's the sovereign Lord, the maker and mover of the heavens and the earth. He's far, far greater than our ability to comprehend Him. We fear the Lord because He's infinite in His being and wisdom and holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. We fear the Lord because He's Almighty God. He can do anything, and He's also all-knowing. He knows the past from the present. He knows the future. He knows the secrets of our hearts. He knows the secrets of the whole universe. Revelation 15:4. Who shall not fear You, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before You, for Your judgments have been made manifest. Or Revelation 14:7. I love that text. Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgments have come. And worship Him who made the heavens and the earth. People who fear God love Him, because He's very, very real and special. And because He loves them. Because He's good and He's generous with His love. We love Him because He first loved us. People who fear God admire Him because He is high and holy and morally majestic and beautiful. Exodus 15:11. Who shall not fear You, O Lord, and glorify Your name? Who is like You, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like You, glorious, that is beautiful in holiness and fearful in praises? People who fear God are sensitive to Him. They're sensitive to His presence, and they're sensitive to His absence. They're very sensitive to grieving Him and displeasing Him. They love what God loves, and they hate what God hates. Usually when we hate something, what happens? We try to avoid it. My wife, Maureen, she's in the nursery, but she hates snakes and spiders and cockroaches and geckos from Florida, and she hates rats. And you know what that means? She doesn't want them around her. She avoids them. Those of us who fear the Lord are sensitive to Him, and we hate our sin, and we do everything we can to avoid sin. Those who don't fear the Lord have no sensitivity to God. They have no problem with sin at all. In fact, they don't avoid sin, but they avoid God. Those who fear the Lord love Him, admire Him, are sensitive to Him, and they obey Him. Deuteronomy 5:29, these are the words of God. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear Me and always keep My commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Godly fear always leads to obedience, and obedience always leads to blessing. So that's the text. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Well, what are some lessons that you and I should learn? Lesson number one, the lesson of faith. Some women I've known, they hate Mother's Day sermons because preachers that preach from, especially Proverbs 31, they hold up this woman who seems to be, she's an excellent woman, but it's very difficult for them. There's a tendency for them to say, well, this is impossible for me. I can't do it. But dear ones, our God is very, very gracious. None of us can do it. None of us can do these things, but He's gracious. He gives more grace. He takes all kinds of women, and He takes all kinds of men, and He changes us from being unable, disabled to do things, and He gives us grace so that we might do them. You say, well, I can't live up to that standard. No, you can't. But God can enable you to do whatever He wants you to do. Say, Lord, help me, make me this Proverbs 31 woman. Help me to have the love of kindness in my mouth. Help me, Lord, to do good to my husband every day of my life. And by the way, man, that's a good prayer. That's one of the prayers I pray. Lord, help me to do good to my wife every day of my life. Help us to do good to one another. Our God is a gracious God, and He takes all kinds of women and men, and He turns them around, changes them, makes them trophies of His grace, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He works in us both the willing and the doing of His good pleasure. So we have the lesson of faith. Don't be discouraged, women. When you read Proverbs 31, say, Lord, make me like this. Do it to me. Then there's a lesson for men. Verse 28. I want all the men to look at this. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And the question is, men, husbands, do you treat your wife the way you would want to be treated if you were her? If you were the wife and she was the husband, do you treat her that way, is what, the way you want to be treated? Are you tender and kind and patient with your wife, men? Do you regularly try to say and do things that encourage her? Are you faithful to provide for her spiritual needs? Do you regularly pray for your wife, and do you pray with your wife? Is she your best friend? Do you dream about her? You know, sometimes, many times, the Puritans get a bad rap from our generation. They were godly people, men and women. One of the Puritans, Thomas Hooker, said this. He said, listen to this, talk about love. The man whose heart is endeared to the woman he loves dreams of her in the night, has her in his eye and apprehension when he wakes, muses on her as he sits at the table, walks with her when he travels. She lives in his bosom, and his heart trusts in her, which forces all to confess that the stream of his affection, like a mighty current, runs with full tide and strength. Do you love your wife? Husband praises her. Third lesson is for the children. Because it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. God's law says, honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with promise. You never get too old to honor your mother and your father. When you're young, you should honor her by loving her and obeying her, by telling her you love her. When's the last time you told Mom, I love you, Mom? When you get older, you honor your mother by spending time with her. You honor your mother by listening to her. You honor your mother by asking for advice and counsel. You honor your mother by doing things to help her. You honor your mother by praying for her. You honor your mother by praising her. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And the truth of the matter is, for every woman, mother or never mothered a child, your works are going to praise you in the gates. What do you do? How do you serve the Lord? How do you live for Christ? Same thing, men, boys, young men. Live for the Lord with all your heart. And may the Lord be gracious to you. Amen. Let's pray.